Alert. Ben, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, so I was talking about Age of Ultron.
And in a few moments.
Yeah. So when it gets
to... We're editing this in.
Well, you're going to edit it at the beginning, right?
Someplace. It's going to be before you spoil.
Okay. So depending on what Matt had to say, when you hear me starting to talk about the Kevin Feige news, I kind of do a spoiler for Age of Ultron.
Well, not kind of.
It was like a complete spoiler.
On a significant moment in the movie. Yeah. So listen at your own risk, everybody.
But you've probably already read it by now, so you've seen the movie or read about the spoiler.
You jerk.
I don't apologize.
All right.
I'm going to stand defiant.
Spoiler warning over.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Episode 359, Simon Pegg into Darkness and Other News. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Bandy Moto, and we are back.
All right, hot off the heels on our great episode on Daredevil.
It was a great episode.
Now, if you haven't watched Daredevil, first of all, go watch it. It's on Netflix, 13 episodes. It's an amazing show. Ben and I both give it our seals of approval.
Yeah.
And we just did a whole episode on it.
And then, if you're like, I wish there was a 14th episode to Daredevil... Well, there kind of is. You just listen to Sci-Fi Christian.
That's right. And then if you want kind of the Daredevil origin story, go to the Ben Affleck movie from 2003.
That's right.
No, totally separate.
Yeah. Ben, that'd be funny if they made that canon.
Ben, I have some Simon Pegg news. You have some. I think if we put it together, we'll have two pieces of Simon Pegg news.
Yeah.
And I don't know the beginning of the story, but I do know how it ends.
Okay.
So do you want to tell me the beginning?
Well, I think it... Maybe begins with this.
Ben is right.
I am right.
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
I am right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
All of you who have disagreed with me, get in line, because it's apology time.
It's been a while. It's been a while since we heard that song.
Well, you don't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could play it. You know, 10 times an episode.
Right.
But, you know. Simon Pegg, essentially, if you want to skip the article, skip the headlines, he came out and said what I've been saying for years, which is that pop culture, well, it is fun and everything is continually becoming dumbed down, and our ingestion, is that a word? Nothing but cheap, shallow entertainment is making us more childish. Infantilizing it. And he made some interesting points. He talked about how, you know, because there's this whole concept of like prolonged adolescence and the stage of life or the age that people do things at, like, you know, get a serious job or get married or have kids, is getting later and later and later, that corporations, movie companies especially, have taken advantage of that and sold us entertainment that a generation ago would have been sold to teenagers, and now they're marketing it to adults. Mm-hmm. Now, he said these in a radio interview, and people took a few quotes where, Simon Pegg hates everyone.
So was he talking about pop culture? Did you say sci-fi?
He's talking about pop culture, fantasy, yeah, all this stuff.
I thought it was something against science fiction specifically. Is that not true?
No. Okay. No, I mean, he singled out comic book movies. Are you sick of them? Then he posted a blog on his site where he basically said, now look, I should, you know, I was speaking off the cuff. What I should have said was, I don't, you know, make it clear, I don't hate pop culture. I like this stuff. I like being a nerd. I like all that. But at the same time, I do have worries about what this means for us culturally. And I thought he had a brilliant point. And of course, people are just outraged about it. But no, it's essentially what I've been saying for years, which is that, hey, this stuff can be fun. There's nothing wrong with liking, you know, superhero movies or whatever. But it's like, when that's the only thing you consume is stuff that's not very intelligent, it's going to make you not very intelligent and in turn make our culture not very intelligent. And he's right.
And then I think this came out today or in the last few days. Another quote here from Simon Pegg. He's talking about the Star Trek Beyond script. So that's Star Trek 3.
Yeah.
And why they brought him in to work through it. So here's a quote from him. He said, they had a script for Star Trek that wasn't really working for them. I think the studio was worried that it might have been a little bit too Star Trek-y. Avengers Assemble, which I think he's referring to Avengers number one, which is pretty nerdy, comic books, supposedly niche thing, made $1.5 billion. Star Trek Into Darkness made $500 million, which is still brilliant. but it means that according to the studio, there's still $1 billion worth of box office that don't go and see Star Trek, and they want to know why. People don't see it being a fun, brightly colored Saturday night entertainment like the Avengers. The solution is to make a Western or a thriller or a heist movie, then populate that with Star Trek characters so it's more inclusive to an audience that might be a bit reticent.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean, is he saying that Star Trek Into Darkness was too Star Trek-y? Because I'm not a Star Trek-y guy, but I know a lot of Star Trek-y fans were not happy about that.
I think that is what he's saying.
Oh, well, I think a lot of Star Trek fans would probably take issue with that.
I think what he's saying is that he was hired essentially to make Star Trek less Star Trek-y.
Right, more palatable.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a little self-loathing going on. I don't know. It's kind of similar to the Joss Whedon situation, where I feel like you have creators who are, you know, they love these worlds. They obviously, you know, Joss Whedon, Simon Pegg, these are people who, they don't hate comic books. They don't hate sci-fi. And that'd be silly. And people are, you know, take their quotes and they claim that. That's a silly argument. But I think maybe they are getting stifled by a machine, you know, a corporate machine and corporate models that say it has to look this way. It has to be this way. You can't tell intelligent stories with this. And similar to what my reaction has been over the years we've done this show, is I say, why? You know, I think sci-fi stuff is a perfect venue to discuss significant themes. And it doesn't mean there's never a place to just have something light and fun, like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever. That was great. But at the same time, you know, not everything has to be fit into this cookie cutter mold. And I think maybe you're starting to see a little bit of dissension in the ranks of creators who are getting a bit fed up. And that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. What, you want to take your next piece of news?
Well, do you want some questions?
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, Matt. So remember how we had the Joker picture with tattoos?
Yes.
And then, you know, people are like, no, those aren't really going to be in the movie. Well, guess what? They are really in the movie.
Yeah, we got some released set photos. And oh, I don't know if these are not official shots.
No,
these
not.
Are like people sneaking on the set and taking shots. And sure enough, Joker had tattoos on his face.
Yes. And so spotted, they're all there.
Why are they lying? Why did they say,
I don't know,
this is the new Joker?
I don't know.
Go with it.
Even tattoos aside, he looks horrible.
Who knows? Maybe we'll look good on screen.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard. You're right. It's hard to tell from those.
I'm not saying I'm
shots.
For it. I'm just saying, right. Who knows?
But man, so Joker, tattoo Joker is a reality, everyone. And it's time to,
you know, go ahead.
Just be upset about it or something. I don't know.
You know, actually, I'm not for it by any means, but I'm kind of over Suicide Squad.
Right.
So at this point, I'm like, yeah, do it.
It could just be terrible.
Just be terrible.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with these movies. It's like, okay, if Tattooed Joker or Suicide Squad bombs and Tattooed Joker is a part of that, what do you do with that character? Like, do you just pretend that that version of the character didn't exist? Because you've got Batman out there eventually. Yeah. We're going to want to see Joker in a Batman movie. You can't just say the character doesn't exist anymore.
I guess you could always just say he got his tattoos removed.
That's true. It's a long and expensive process. That's why, kids, if before you get a tattoo, put that design in a drawer for a few months and then pull it out, see if you still want it.
Here's another interesting quote. So Disney CEO Robert Iger this is as reported by Daily Finance. In an interview, he was talking about how they have their different channels. You know, Disney owns ABC, they own ESPN, they've got the Disney Channel. And here's the quote, maybe even down the road, we could have this is me in quotes, I'm kind of helping him out. We could have a channel related to Star Wars and Marvel. We do have an ability as a company to take product, specifically filmed entertainment, television, movies, directly to consumers. So, Ben, for it or against it, a Marvel TV station?
Well, what's it going to be?
What's
the Star Wars station going to be? Are we just going to replay the six movies on a loop?
And Rebels and Clone Wars.
Like, if you get all of their material, you probably have, what, 36 hours worth of programming something?
Even if you have all of Marvel's cartoons they've ever done.
Right.
It's not that much.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's 1 p.m. Phantom Menace is on again.
Oh, hey, Star Wars. I'm still not 100% sold on Ben's Star Wars idea, but I do know this, that Our friend and writer at thescifichristian.com, Mike, sent us in that box right behind you a bunch of John Carter stuff.
Oh.
And John Carter was an influence on Star Wars. So I'm going to, the contest to get rid of, nope, that's not the right word, to give away.
To give away. Oh, are you going to mail this giveaway?
Yeah, I have to.
Because let's just be honest, your history of mailing giveaways is not so good at the
moment. Don't worry, don't worry.
Patrick emailed me and said he finished the book I gave
him. Yeah, right, he did?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
shoot.
He said, I think Matt probably forgot or it got lost in the mail.
Did you tell him?
I haven't yet, no.
Oh, email him back. Patrick's book, which he won in January, is here in my home.
Yeah.
Just haven't sent it out yet, Patrick. I'll make sure to do that this week. You can take that to the bank. But anyway.
So if you win these.
Ben will mail it out.
You'll get them sometime.
I'm going to leave it up to you.
Oh.
Yeah, so a John Carter / Star Wars related contest coming summer 2015.
Okay.
So if you're into John Carter and Star Wars, watch for this contest coming soon. All right, Ben. Your next piece of news.
Oh, I only have two more and then questions for Matt.
All right, do your next one that's not a question.
Okay. Well, we already talked about it a bit in Daredevil, but Kevin Feige has said there will be no dark turns in the MCU. So if you were worried about there being something like, drama or lasting consequences or a variety of tone in any of the Marvel movies, you can rest assured there will be none of that.
I think he's trying to say they're just going to be more lighthearted and fun as opposed to DC's strong stance against humor.
Yeah, but like, you know, no dark turn. So nobody's ever going to die in a lasting way. We'll probably see Quicksilver. Rage of Ultron, spoilers. We'll probably see Quicksilver. Do you want to edit that? People have seen it by now. It's fine.
It's out there.
Yeah, there might have been somebody who might have died in Age of Ultron. No doubt he'll be back soon. Because that's the way these things work. Horrified.
I know. I'm trying to think. Like, do we want to?
No, people are fine. People are fine. Everyone's seen the movie.
I'll add a spoiler warning to the beginning. That will save me editing.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
It's like I saw you. What's the timestamp? What's the time?
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay. Yeah. You know it. And I don't. Like I said in the Daredevil episode, we talked about this briefly. I don't think DC's solution is great either. It's not go make everything dark and then all your problems are solved. But I mean, this is just stupid. This is why you're going to lose directors like Edgar Wright, because they say, well, hey, Kevin, can I talk to you for a second? Oh, sure, Edgar, what's up? Well, I was thinking I might want to make Ant-Man a little bit darker. There's no dark turns in the Marvel Universe. I know, Kevin, but couldn't we just maybe, you know, just have this one sequence where things get a little bit, you know, kind of dark and twisted? There's no dark turns in this Marvel Universe. You're fired. Like, that's how I imagine these conversations going down.
What if he killed that man at the end?
I thought you were going to say, what if he killed Edgar Wright for wanting to go dark? I mean, whoa, Kevin, there's no dark turns in the MCU, but there's in this office. Yeah. All right.
All right, let's move on.
Do-do-do-do-do-do, it's questions for Matt. I think I need to reenact studio conversations on a more regular basis. Matt, you and I had both looked at the trailers for Mad Max and said, this looks dumb. We don't have any interest in it. However, it has opened to astonishingly positive reviews.
I know.
Has that made you change your mind about possibly wanting to see this at some point?
Initially it did, but then I checked with a few friends, and they're still saying it's pretty violent, which again falls under the category of things Matt doesn't like. So, I don't know. I mean, like you said, I don't have Rotten Tomatoes in front of me, but
it's like 98%, which is crazy.
Yeah, I've seen people giving it A pluses. Everybody's liking this movie. I don't understand. It looks so bad.
I agreed with you on the trailer, but I think I do want to see. I don't know if I'll see it in theaters, but I think I do want to see this now.
Okay, maybe I'll rent it. But I know one of my other friends asked me, when are you going to see it? And I said, never. Even after I heard it was pretty good. So
Let me give you a comparison, because I remember a couple of years ago, Lone Ranger came out.
Yeah.
We were looking at the trailers like, this looks so stupid. And people were like, you're prejudging the movie. How dare you? And I said, well, you know, wait a second. If this movie came out, Lone Ranger came out, and it was just everybody was talking about it. It was an amazing movie.
Yeah.
I would be like, okay, maybe I misjudged it. I'll go check it out. That's how I feel about Mad Max right now.
Okay. So you feel like you owe it to the people to...
No, I don't owe it to anybody. I just have interested in it. If it, you know, maybe I was wrong.
I'm going to say I'm still not that interested, but if I see it, I guess it won't be the worst thing in the world.
All right. Question number two. Now that the Hulk is going to be in Civil War as well, That news came out this week. Can we just go ahead and rename this Avengers 3 at this point? Is there any point in even calling it Captain America?
You know, that's a good question. I wonder if this is a sign that they're going to move away from giving heroes their individual movies. Like, what if they just
everybody has to be in 10 movies a year now?
What if this was just called Avengers Civil War?
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
I know. It's just like when originally Batman versus Superman was supposed to be the Man of Steel sequel. This is not a Captain America movie, it doesn't sound like.
No. Chris Hemsworth is... What about me?
I don't... When's Thor going to get added to this movie?
Exactly.
Maybe that's their way. They're like, it's not Avengers. There's no Thor.
There's no Thor.
So, I don't... They'll never do what you're saying, but maybe they should.
Yeah, I agree.
But how cool is it, I mean, from a marketing standpoint, to say, it's not even Avengers, and we've got everybody.
That's I don't think it's cool.
Oh, okay. Next.
I wish I did. I just... It feels like...
So, you wish it was called Avengers 3?
No, I wish that they didn't put everybody in it. That was one of the problems.
Well, Civil War, how could you even do that without a lot of people?
That's true.
It kind of...
Maybe they realized, we only have five characters, they all have to be here.
All right, next question.
16 years ago today,
I know
the
this.
Phantom Menace opened. Now, one of the things that's so interesting to me about the Phantom Menace is that, well, it's universally considered the worst Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. Of the prequels, and actually of all the Star Wars movies, the most financially successful by far.
Oh, like I didn't know that.
Maybe not if you adjusted the old ones for inflation, but of the prequels, like by far the biggest box office draw. And even more interesting that it had an opening weekend that was substantially lower than like Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith opened over 100 million. Phantom Menace opened around 60 million, but Phantom Menace made 50 million more. So it had a longer burn too. You know, it was like it stuck around, it had staying power, and the reason why is that there was a denial aspect when you like read accounts of people who they just kept going to the movie. The problem must be me.
Yes, I've heard this. I've actually heard this on a different podcast before.
Yeah.
And somebody saw it 7 times because they couldn't figure out why they didn't like it.
Exactly. And then eventually people were like, no, it's not me. Well, I better see it again because I just, you know, and so people saw it a ton of times. So my question for you, if, God forbid, The Force Awakens is Phantom Menace bad, will fans accept that right away, or will we see a repeat of the Phantom Menace scenario where we go again and again out of denial?
We will not see that repeat. That was a anomaly, a phenomenon, because
I agree.
People didn't expect to see Star Wars ever again, and then they did. Now we're in a place where there's been nonstop TV, comics, books. We've been told we're going to get one every year forever.
Right.
No.
I think you're spot on. It would have been funny to just like, if you could have go back in time and document some of these people. Jar Jar must be funny. Trying to force themselves to laugh at him.
I actually watched the trailer this morning.
For Phantom Menace?
For Phantom Menace. Oh. Because there was an article about the 16-year anniversary.
And yeah.
They showed the original trailer, and I remember you said that it had a great trailer. Yeah. I watched it. It wasn't that good. I mean, I imagine seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can't take my mind back there because I know all these scenes suck.
Yeah.
And Jar Jar is heavily featured in the trailer.
But he doesn't seem like Jar Jar yet.
I know
what you're saying.
But 16 years ago, Ben, I got out of school. I can't remember what grade I was in. I bet 11th grade. I got out of school and got to go see that. I think I had a... It wasn't like I skipped out. I think I had a... What is it called when you're allowed to leave? Parent like approval. Pass. Whatever. Yeah. So, were you there too? 16 years ago today?
Yeah. In the afternoon with a few friends.
I think it was 11 a.m. showing for me.
Oh, I think...
Maybe 10. 10 a.m. or 11.
You were early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I had to get back to school afterwards.
Yeah. Last question for you. The first trailer for Pan dropped today. Are you familiar with Pan?
I know it's about Peter Pan.
That's right.
But I have not watched this trailer.
It is a origin story of Peter Pan, and surprise, surprise, he is a chosen one, and there are ancient prophecies in Neverland about him, which I just want to gag when I see that. But, you know, this
I'll
is
try
the
to
thing
check
to
it
do.
Out.
This
I'll
is the thing to do. Yeah. So my question isn't about Pan, but it's about, okay, we've got to the point where now we are remaking Peter Pan. There's his origin story. Mm-hmm. What gritty and or chosen one origin stories are we going to see in the coming years?
Oh, this is a good question. So, like a kind of a remake of a classic story, but now there's a chosen one? Do you have one in mind? Because
I don't.
I should try to think of it for a second. You take it, and I'll think for a second. I know this is questions for Matt, but I want to. This is a good question.
Well, I think it's only inevitable that, you know, we've seen the C-3PO origin story already in Phantom Menace. That's done, but no doubt we'll get a gritty origin story for R2 down the road.
Okay, you know, actually going back to Star Wars, I guess that's what you just did. When I saw the trailer, the first thing that came to my head is, you know what they could do? Liam Neeson,
yeah,
Qui-Gon Jinn, how do you say his name?
Yeah, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Well, he said he's going to only do action movies for like 2 more years or something.
Got to get it.
His last one should be his origin story in Star Wars.
Right. We know the Jedis are supposed to be celibate in the Old Republic, but he probably had a wife. She got kidnapped, and he called them on the little data transponder, and he said he had a very special set of skills, and they were actually Jedi skills, and he went and tracked them down.
Yeah.
But unlike the Taken franchise, whoops.
Yes, what if they what if they make a Star Wars movie in the vein of Taken, starring Liam Neeson?
That's terrible.
What I want.
You know we're going to get the Yoda origin story eventually and all this, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Like young Yoda. He was kicked out of school.
I like Qui-Gon Jinn. I hope they bring him back.
And then they'll love like Yoda's dad in his room yelling at him, "You're never going to amount to anything. I hate you, Dad." And
hate you, I do.
No, he'll probably be like a normal talker through the whole movie, and then his last line will be backwards.
No, it's big. He got kicked out of school because he wouldn't speak correctly.
That's another one. No one understood him. No one accepted who he could be, and then he believed in himself. Right, you know that's coming eventually.
That's the end of this segment.
Okay. It's questions for Matt.
All right, Ben, I have a theory.
Yeah.
That I've not shared on the show yet, so I'm excited to get it out there. And I haven't read it anywhere online, so this is a first. This is a Sci-Fi Christian exclusive.
Okay.
Now, we did cover on the show that while Marvel and Sony are teaming on the live-action Spider-Man, all of a sudden, Sony announced they're going to do an animated Spider-Man cinematic universe still under their branding.
Right.
I figured it out. I know how they're going to do this and have it make a little bit of sense.
Okay.
Miles Morales.
Oh, you're back on the Miles Morales bandwagon.
Miles Morales enters the Sony's Spider-Man cinematic universe.
Yeah.
He swings in. Yeah, so they're going
to... Sony's not smart enough to do that.
Yes, this is how they can keep them separate and not confusing. They can have Peter Parker die in the cartoons, and Miles Morales becomes the new Spider-Man. And so the whole cinematic animated line is all around Miles Morales. That's my guess. The Ultimate Spider-Man.
I don't see it happening. No one knows who Miles Morales is.
But they will after the Sony Spider-Man cinematic animated
universe. No one's
going to watch
that movie. No one.
I got to figure out how to say that. The Sony animated Spider-Man cinematic universe.
Yeah, that's very specific. At some point, it stops being a universe if you add more and more adjectives to it. Like, you know, it's
like they're probably
Spider-Man,
like
Spider-Man, like the Aunt May cinematic universe. No, what's there to do with that?
They're like, you know what? We had Drew Goddard write this whole script for Sinister Six. We're not going to use. Let's just tack it on to Miles Morales.
Yeah,
that's what's happening.
I don't
yes, that's
no.
happening. You heard it here first, folks.
Well, that's a fine theory.
All right, you have one more piece of news. Left?
I do. Well, look who's peeking in again. It's David Lynch. In fact, he's peeking in twice. You might say they're twin peaks.
So what happened here? He's back on season 3?
Yeah.
How did that happen? I don't know the whole story here.
Well, you know, the cast, after he quit, made a video that they basically... I mean, it was more of a joke thing, but you kind of got the vibe none of them were going to do it if he wasn't there. so that might have helped his negotiating
so
power
was
a little
like,
bit.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess... I mean... Nobody wanted it without him there. Maybe it was a negotiation tactic. I don't know. I'm just glad he's there.
Yes, this is good for me, too, because I put Twin Peaks on my things to watch by episode 450.
Yeah.
And so now I can watch those two seasons and finally see a proper season 3.
All right.
All right, I don't have that much more news. Do you want to just dive through?
Let's do it.
Brad Bird.
Oh, don't forget, I have to give you your birthday present.
Let's do that post-credit, just in case people are bored with that aspect. Brad Bird, who is working on Tomorrowland, confirms that Incredibles 2 is his next project.
Yeah.
I'm for it. Let's do for it or against it.
Oh, I don't know. Fine. For it.
I like Pixar. I heard really good things about Inside Out. I think it premiered at the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah.
X-Files event series premiere date has been revealed. Do you know when it is?
Isn't it later this year?
It is. It's already coming out this year. I'm trying to find the exact date. Let's see. The 24th of what? It just says on Sunday the 24th. Wow. Is that, it's the fall. What is happening here?
Probably September, October.
When asked why Fox had chosen, okay, here we go. They have chosen to launch the series behind the NFC Championship game.
Well, that would be January.
The reasoning was they wanted to make sure that even though the X-Files already has a built-in excited audience, they wanted to give it the most maximum exposure.
Well, that's next January.
Here we go. Then. Yep, yeah. January 24th.
All right.
And so it's premiering on that Sunday, and then the next episode will be the next day, Monday, January 25th.
So we've got some excavating to do before then.
We have to really get through this fast.
Maybe we should skip the standalone.
No, I'm excited. That's actually what I'm excited about.
I know.
No, we're doing it.
Okay.
So then in the next 2 weeks, I have to watch Dark City, Fight the Future, and some standalone episodes. Yeah. We have to, Ben.
Okay.
Please.
For the fans.
For the fans. But I think we are actually going to have to become more of an X-File-centric show for a bit.
Maybe we could do 2 seasons in 1 episode.
That's not a bad idea. Just get through it.
Like if we do 6, 7, 8, and 9.
But as a reminder, the last excavation that we did, I actually really liked. That was a fun time.
Yeah.
I need to get back into it because I haven't watched any episodes since that last podcast that we did.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm looking forward to this. I can't wait. We have to be done with excavating the X-Files by the time we get to January. So yeah. It's right around the corner in some ways.
We could make that skip a top 100 this year and just do X-Files episodes in the hiatus.
Top 100.
No, just the rest of the excavation.
Hey, everybody. I don't know if we brought this up on the air yet, but we're about to announce the
candidates
yeah. for this year's top 100 countdown. So we're going to need you to vote probably starting in June. And then we're going to start pre-recording those episodes in August, I think.
Right.
So here, watch for that. Coming soon. BBC America has picked up the cult sci-fi hit Orphan Black for a 4th season. I'm for it, but with the caveat that I think it's okay right now. I'm in the middle of season 2, and it's blowing me away less and less.
Yeah.
So I hear good things. I'll keep on plowing through it, but I think I really liked that first, and now I kind of like it.
Right. I kind of liked it at first, and then I stopped watching.
Now, I don't think you're going to care about this news, Ben, but ABC had a musical sitcom on.
Oh, my goodness.
Called Gallivant, set in sort of a fantasy. Sort of a Princess Bride feel.
Right.
Des and I watched it together, and it was actually pretty funny. I liked it.
Oh.
And when it ended, it was kind of like, well, they're never going to pick this up for season 2. Not so fast.
I did.
They did, unexpectedly.
All right. So, wasn't Ricky Gervais in that?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
This is another thing, unexpected. I'm not even sure why. I think I just put this down. This is not sci-fi news, but I put it down because it's shocking and weird. A couple years back, they did a Three Stooges movie.
That's right.
And I don't think anybody thought it looked good, and I don't know one person that saw it.
No.
But it got announced that they're doing a sequel to that.
So they're going to call it The Four Stooges?
Why? Was there a fourth one by the end?
No, but that would be I didn't see the movie. And if I had, I wouldn't admit that I'd seen the movie. You wouldn't admit it.
Did you ever see, speaking of movies, did you ever see the Bradley Cooper movie called Limitless?
Yeah, not good.
So, CBS.
The home of all great television.
The station we can trust. has picked up a Limitless TV show. It's going to be a continuation from the movie, including Bradley Cooper as a recurring character on the cast. He's also producing it.
Yeah. It was an interesting idea, but the movie was not good. Did not like it.
I'm pretty much against anything on CBS.
Yeah.
So I'll say against it. But I didn't. It seems like I might have liked Limitless more than you, the movie.
Yeah.
Fox.
You might say that my appreciation of it was not
limitless. Fox Studios has announced yet another X-Men film in the works. Wait a second. I thought this was a TV show. I gotta check the actual. Oh man, I never do this, but I'm looking at the actual article. Well, tell me if you can help me out with this. I heard that they're going to be doing a New Mutants spinoff. Is that a TV show?
I have no idea. Never heard about it.
Do you know who the New Mutants are? A team of young X-Men?
That would be my guess.
Well, no, that is.
Oh.
I actually know the answer to that. Okay, this is unclear. I think this is a movie, but I thought I had also heard possible TV show.
Well, just New Mutants movie.
Okay, good. New Mutants movie. Coming to Fox Studios, not Fox TV. Oh boy. Sometimes you got to read below the headline.
That's right.
And when you do, it's just a mess. That's what I always say.
Never read below the headline.
Never read below the headline, I think. Oh, yeah. Okay. Two pieces of news left. Speaking of X-Men, we both enjoy Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
But we knew that there was a director's cut called the Rogue Cut, which included more scenes, including scenes starring Rogue.
Hence.
That got cut
the title.
From the film.
Yeah.
So this is the cut that includes the Rogue scenes.
Right.
Well, we've been waiting for it to be released on DVD and Blu-ray.
I have not.
What I mean to say is I've been waiting for it to be released on Blu-ray because I did not buy it originally knowing that this extended version was coming in 2015.
Right.
Well, the studio decided, you know what? I'm going to try to cash in on some of that Avengers Age of Ultron money.
Oh.
They're releasing the Rogue cut in theaters this summer.
What?
Theaters.
I'm not going to go see it.
Which means we probably will have to wait till Christmas to get it on Blu-ray. I'm not going to go to the theaters and see the Rogue cut.
No.
So it is going to be released on July 14th, and it's only 17 minutes longer.
I thought you were saying it was only 17 minutes long. Like, they add just nothing but the Rogue scenes.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, wait a year and release a movie again with only 17 additional minutes? That's nothing.
I'm against it.
I am against it also. I want it on Blu-ray. I'm for buying it. I just want it on Blu-ray. All right, well.
Would you like me to read you some of the members of the New Mutants?
Yes, please.
Bird Brain. Boom, Boom.
Boom, Boom.
Skids.
Okay.
And Wolverine.
Wolverine is not.
He is.
Really?
Oh, no, wait. Wolfsbane. I read that wrong.
I got some more here. Want me to read some?
Yeah.
Warlock. Yeah. Mirage.
Cannonball.
Karma.
They ran out of names for the X-Men somewhere in the late 60s. I think that's pretty definite.
Magic.
Without a C.
Yeah, with a K.
Well, Magic usually has a K.
Magma. Cypher.
Right.
Sunspot.
Domino in quotes.
Was it? Why in quotes?
I have no idea, but that's what it is here.
Simon Kinberg.
Copycat.
Simon Kinberg, who is one of the producers over the X-Men franchise, says, "We're so excited to explore this new part of the X-Men universe and so excited to do it with Josh." Josh who? Josh Boone, who was the director of The Fault in Our Stars. Josh is uniquely Josh is uniquely suited to tell this story about young characters, Kinberg said.
Hmm.
All right, Ben. Here we go.
Last news of the day.
Now, Ben, I believe you played this game. I never did. It was a computer-based game called Myst.
Oh, yeah. I played Myst a bunch.
Well, good news.
You played on your iPad.
Good news for you, Ben. Hulu and Legendary are teaming up to produce a Myst TV series. Now, what's the plot of Myst, and tell me if you think it would work as a series?
It could, because there's a whole bunch of backstory that I just skipped over when I played the game. So depending on the strength of that backstory, could be interesting. But the plot of Myst is, like you in the game, you just find yourself in a mysterious world where you have to solve puzzles, and then you travel places through books that teleport you to that world.
Oh, that's kind of cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
you've never played Myst?
No. I've heard of it, but I've never played it.
Well, you get the iPad version.
I mean, I'm not really into games, though, so I'm not interested in playing.
Yeah.
I just have heard of it, and I cover sci-fi news, so I brought it up for
the last news of the day.
Last news of the day.
That's right.
Well, everybody, thanks for joining us. If you're interested in finding out what Ben got me for my birthday.
What did Matt get for his birthday?
Stay tuned for post-credits. I also have a little bit of comic talk to talk to Ben about.
Oh.
It's something we talked about on the phone, but I want to get it on the air.
Okay.
And there's no other good venue for it,
Though
I have another podcast about comic books.
That's right.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
Yeah, I'm Ben DiBono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians signing off.
Bye, goodbye. Oh, what did you get for your birthday?
No, first let's do this. So,
okay.
Fables, Ben.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about this off the air, but I just want to put it out there. I was at a local comic convention this past weekend.
Very local.
Very local, like right down the road from here. And Bill Willingham, who is the writer, creator of the DC comic book called Fables, was there.
Yeah.
I went to a panel that he was on.
You're lucky he lives in Minnesota. That's probably the only way they got him to come.
Yeah. I went to a panel that he was speaking at, and it was supposed to be about the end of Fables, but guess what? He mostly answered random questions and didn't really talk about the end of Fables too much, other than when I myself had a chance to ask him a question. And I asked him this. I said, so with the end of Fables, I'm not talking about plot, but how did you get to the end? Is it something you'd always planned out, or was it more story driven? Did you always know this is how it was going to end? And he told me some interesting things I just want to put out there. So this is only interesting to you if you've read the comic Fables.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Or if you're waiting around for Matt's birthday.
That's true.
One of the two.
He said he always had originally planned to end it at issue 100, which is interesting because right now we're about to end with issue 150. So the last 50 issues were not originally planned by him. It was more of something where he felt like, he said at this panel, I didn't feel like I could fill more fluff in before we told how we wanted to end it. So we just made that the 100th issue and then decided that we'd keep on going. He wasn't clear on if it was DC that was mandating that he kept on going or if that he was just having fun, but I got the feeling it was more company driven rather than
creator
driven. But that's not from him. That's just my own.
Yeah. No, guess. I agree with you. We should say that as a rumor.
That's a rumor.
That's a rumor.
I also had a chance to ask him who his favorite character in Fables was.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of the characters tend to evolve a lot, and Ben and I have talked about how some characters who are basically just side characters you don't care about at all in the early issues become some of your favorite characters midway through. He said, and this is for all you Fables fans, if you read issue 150, which is coming out in July, his favorite character actually had something's going to happen in the last issue. So he said that the last issue is going to be 150 pages, 80 pages of main story, and then the remaining pages will all be short mini stories wrapping up each character's storyline, I guess you could say. And the final mini story and the final panel, the person, and he wouldn't specify gender, the guy or girl in the final panel of the final story has become his favorite Fables character.
Yikes.
So watch for that in July.
Just go to the bookstore, open up the book, last page, there it is.
I also asked him which characters he had wanted to use but never could, and he actually said I wanted to use the characters from the Chronicles of Narnia.
I have heard him mention that before, but they're still licensed, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was fun to talk to him. Didn't get a lot of scoop stuff there, but I thought, you know what, this is a good little combo to have with Ben on the Sci-Fi Christian. I'm sure there's some listeners out there that like Fables, and if you have no idea what Fables is,
go check it out.
It is a Vertigo comic, but it's DC, but Vertigo is the imprint, and it's what if all of these fairy tales, Snow White, Cinderella, Prince Charming, what if they were real, but they're just from an alternate dimension, and here they are ending up on our Earth.
So
what
it's
happens?
Like, think of Once Upon a Time, and then imagine that it's good. And that's Fables.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ben and I, actually, Ben got me into it back in 2011. You bought a bunch of the trades and loaned them to me.
All right.
So, that's Fables. All right, everybody.
We should just lock ourselves in a room when 150 comes out and read every issue out loud to one another.
Do you want to?
I'll get back to you on that.
All right. Should we stop the suspense? What did you get me for my birthday?
Well, no, I got you two things for your birthday. They're both in this Amazon box. I wrapped them in there.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to hand them to you.
No, they're in the shape of a book. This box looks like it could be... I'm guessing it's going to be trade paperbacks.
Well, we'll see.
You're shaking your head no already. So not that.
We'll see. So the first one I got for you because you said when we were doing our episode on Purgatorio, I'm having trouble visualizing stuff. So I got you.
Hey, what do we got here?
Well, there's a naked man on the cover. Don't let that deter you. It's Gustave Doré's illustrations of the Divine Comedy, and they're wonderful.
This is good.
I'll help you visualize it.
This is actually the guy who's the naked guy is one of the people that carry around their heads.
Right.
This is in the Inferno. They had their heads chopped off, so they carry them around like lanterns.
That's right.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
You're welcome. And so then number two.
Some pretty nice artwork here.
It is nice artwork. Number two.
So this will explain to me when I can start, like, okay, this is from Canto, whatever. So
right.
Go check it out. Okay.
Exactly. Like, you look at the little, it'll even tell you the line number there. So you can figure it out. And it goes in chronological order.
Thank you.
This is helpful.
This is good. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then number two
as I know that you're going to be reading Paradise Lost, you put that on your list. The Gustave Doré illustrations for Paradise Lost.
That's awesome. Back to back.
That's right. Which I don't have that one, so I've never seen that, but I like it.
Would you like to borrow it from me someday?
Maybe sometime.
Yeah, I am. I'm reading Paradise Lost before 450, so this would be great. Spoilers, I probably shouldn't look at the pictures quite yet.
Well, Satan gets thrown out of heaven.
What? Come on.
And Adam and Eve get thrown out of Eden.
Is Paradise Lost going to be an experience similar to Divine Comedy, where it's sort of okay to know what's going to happen ahead of time? Like,
yes.
You know how it...
Have you read the first three chapters of Genesis?
Yes.
Then you know what's going to happen ahead of time.
Oh, man.
Remember how in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, well, they kind of lost paradise. Like, they were in paradise and they lost it. Yeah.
That's what it's about?
That's what it's about.
I honestly didn't know that's what it was about.
Yeah.
So John Milton's retelling the Bible?
Pretty much, yeah.
So it's like Satan falling from the sky.
There you go. See? He's fallen from heaven.
I'm excited to read that. Last thing I need from you now is for you to send me through Amazon. No, you don't have to buy this for me.
Right.
But just send
just
me
put in your order.
Send me a link to which version of Paradise Lost I should buy.
Okay,
that's your mission.
I'll do that.
I want, if you could find a version just like the Divine Comedy, that was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't let me down.
Is perfect.
Ben, thank you for these two gifts.
Third of the Divine Comedy to read. You're welcome.
These would be great.
You're welcome.
I'll keep these handy. But I will not let my children look through them.
That's probably a good idea.
They're very violent and very naked.
Yeah, my kids started looking at the Divine Comedy one. And Andy was like, we have to put that up on the shelf.
Well, I mean, they're in hell.
I was like, and I said, you know, it's classical art, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's not pornography.
Exactly.
It's classical art. It's naked people in hell.
I think he was more concerned about the hell part rather than the naked people part. But yeah, so I've been reading Annie. I just finished reading Annie the Inferno, so I've been giving her those. She's like, here, go look at these pages while I read.
So oh, man. Here's Caiaphas.
Yikes.
Crucified to the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's a rough one.
This is going to give me nightmares.
you can call me if you can't sleep.
Ben, I appreciate these gifts. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And the crowd also appreciates it. In fact, they're cheering for you.
A happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Well, thank you everybody for joining us once again. If you'd like to write us, you can reach us at feedback@thescifichristian.com. You can call us at
612-4121-SFC.
We're on Facebook, Twitter,
yeah,
and the website.
YouTube.
Oh, yeah, YouTube. You've been doing your Game of Thrones reviews. How are those going?
Good, good.
I heard there was some controversy in the recent episode. There's, we won't get into it, but
yeah,
pretty violent, apparently.
Not so much violent.
Okay. Yeah.
Just rough stuff. Yeah. Sometimes rough stuff happens in Game of Thrones.
That's right.
In fact, that'll probably be he'll change the title of the last book to
Rough Stuff. Where do you go from there? I should have ended it while I had the chance.
We had a wasp attack in one episode.
There we go. I'll do this again.
Yeah.
Well, so long, folks.
Bye-bye.